Hey everyone, this is Deidre and I am facilitating tonight's call because it's Corinne's husband's birthday, so happy birthday. We know that they're with us in spirit, but for tonight I'll be doing the reading and we'll go as we normally do. We'll read a little bit and then open it up for discussion. And just before we go into a meditation, before beginning, I'll give everyone the page numbers again. So in the Sparkle edition, we are on page 425, and it's the paragraph beginning in your relationship where he has taken charge of everything at your request. And I will get the references to the other books as well. Just give me a second here. So in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition of the book, it's chapter 18, part 1, paragraph 9. And in the original edition, it's chapter 18, part 2, paragraph 9. So there we go. And as we always do at the beginning of the calls, just taking a minute to just be still and handing everything over to spirit right now and allowing whatever needs to come for our shared learning through our reading tonight to be present with us in the love that we are. If we need a thought or a word or a tranquil, open mind, these are things that the Holy Spirit gives, and we ask that Holy Spirit be in charge at our request. So be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. We join together tonight in this time and space to strengthen the truth in all our conscious oneness together, and by sharing and engaging together, we're part of the Great Awakening, remembering the love that we truly are. Thank you, and so it is. Okay, so I'm going to start reading. In your relationship where he has taken charge of everything at your request, he has set the course inward to the truth you share. In the mad world outside you, nothing can be shared, but only sustained, and sharing and substituting have nothing in common in reality. Within yourselves, you love each other with a perfect love. Here is holy ground in which no substitution can enter, and where only the truth about each other can abide. Here you are joined in God as much together as you are with him. The original error has not entered here, nor ever will. Here is the radiant truth to which the Holy Spirit has committed your relationship. Let him bring it here where you would have it be. Give him but a little faith in each other to help him show you that no substitute you made for heaven can keep you from it. In you, there is no separation, and no substitute can keep you from each other. Your reality was God's creation and has no substitute. You are so firmly joined in truth that only God is there, and He would never accept something else instead of you. He loves you both equally and as one. And as He loves you, so you are. You are not joined together in illusions, but in the thought so holy, that so perfect, that illusions cannot remain to darken the holy place in which you stand together. God is with you, my brothers. Let us join in Him in peace and gratitude and accept His gift as our most holy and perfect reality, which we share in Him. Heaven is restored to all the sonship through your relationship, for in it lies the sonship, whole and beautiful, safe in your love. Heaven has entered quietly, for all illusions have been gently brought unto the truth in you, and love has shined upon you, blessing your relationship with truth. God and His whole creation have entered it together. How lovely and how holy is your relationship with the truth shining upon it. Heaven beholds it and rejoices that you have let it come to you. The universe within you stands with you together, and heaven looks with love on what is joined in it along with its creator. And I'll pause there for a moment. Wow.
Yeah.
I was just really struck how perfect everything that was just in those paragraphs is for right now in this moment in time.
I was thinking the same thing, especially the first paragraph with everything that's been going on the last few weeks, and I haven't been able to be on the call, and just getting so swept up in everything that's going on in the world and noticing where my ego is taking control. And this was a good paragraph, was a good reminder what's true.
Yeah. What really struck me, especially with the first sentence where it says, in your relationship where He has taken charge of everything at your request, is that it is like a gentle nudge that all we need do is remember to ask, you know, Holy Spirit, help. Mm-hmm. And when times feel difficult, and then because in reality we haven't become these separate identities. We only believe that we have. We can't be cut off from all that is. So that really came forward for me. Does anybody have anything that they want to?
Gigi?
Hello.
Yes.
I also love the next to the last line. The universe within you stands with you. That's so powerful.
Yeah, so
together with your brother.
Hello, everyone. It's Igor.
Hi, Igor. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, beautiful paragraphs. Thank you, Dietri. Beautiful read. And what I recall is from chapter 8, section 8, at least in the blue book, Jesus says, attitudes toward the body are attitudes toward attack. So even thinking about other people as bodies is already an attack, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a shocker for me, because in the case of my girlfriend, for example, the very first reason I, you know, came close to her and, you know, started the conversation with her was because of her body. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, and one time we were laying in bed and I was looking at her and I was looking in her eyes. Yeah. And they say that the eyes are mirrors of the soul, you know, in Russia, at least we say so.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking in her eyes deeply, and suddenly I realized, suddenly this, you know, this dawned to me that if I would look really, really deep into her eyes, all I would see is just the backside of her eyeball. That was quite another shocker for me, you know. It wouldn't be so beautiful and so magical, you know, if I would wrap it up, you know, if I would take her eye from her head and wrap it out, it wouldn't be any beautiful, you know. It would be ugly, terrible, you know. And suddenly I realized even another thing, that actually I have never ever seen my girlfriend, the truth about her, what she really is, the truth about her, I have never seen it. I see some shadow, some, I don't know what do I see, but I don't know the truth about her, a single piece of truth about her. So and you know, I hugged her and I tried to be close to her, you know, I hugged her, gave her a big hug, and very quickly, you know, I started to feel uncomfortable, you know, because her hair gets to my mouth, you know, like, and I start sweating, and come on, let's just stay away from me, just a bit, you know. And again, that's how the body is just the manifestation of separation. So it needs privacy. It needs separation all the time, you know, even from our loved ones. But we get really uncomfortable after, you know, less than a minute if we really join together, you know. Yeah, that was quite a bummer, you know. It is quite a bummer. Yeah, but that's when I really started thinking that that focusing on the body is absolutely nothing. Bodies is not the truth about us, and that joining, real true joining that Jesus is talking about, is just impossible on the level of the body, because it's not what we are. And substitutes for the bodies. Yeah, the ego always says, "Oh, look at her! You know, she didn't wash the dishes again. She didn't wash the dishes. Yeah, you must have another girlfriend. Yeah? You must have another girlfriend.
Who can wash those dishes?"
Yeah.
You
maybe,
can wash the dishes.
Maybe. Yeah? you could. Oh, okay.
Okay.
You speak just like my girlfriend, yeah?
I don't like doing
so,
the medic better than she does.
So the ego says have a substitute, but the Holy Spirit never substitutes because it's all the same. It's all the same. We're all one. Okay, thank you.
Thank
that
you
really
so
explains
much.
It. That really, you really nailed it. I don't know what to do about it. Turn to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in anything,
yeah.
The body.
Or in anything,
just,
yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
I was,
no matter what.
I was having a lot of stress in the body for a long time, and I was listening to a so-called energy healer today, and it seemed like the more I focused on it, the worse I was feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm writing in a journal. I'm writing down my questions to Jesus, and he says, anytime you're focusing on an illusion, you're going to get more of the illusion.
That's
he
right.
Said, that's what you're. It's going to happen. He says, because you're making it more real.
Mm.
And I've decided, okay, Susan, you've got to make up your mind. You've got to either stay with what I'm flip-flopping back and forth, thinking I need to be healed of this. But
yeah.
Then I go back to the Course, and it says, no, you don't need healed. You are already whole.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong.
And I had that tonight because, like I said, today I was having an extreme amount of stress. And I was like palpitations in my heart, really strong. Like, blah, 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 you know, and I was feeling like, oh, my gosh, you know, we're going away tomorrow. My son's coming and everything. And I was feeling okay. And, of course, my mind was taking me. I'm going to the hospital. We're not going to go. And this is what I just slowed myself down, and I said, okay, Jesus, you are with me. This is an illusion. There is no hierarchy. There is no hierarchy of illusion. My mind is doing this. I am asking for you to join me. You have said that your strength is sufficient. I'm going to just let myself slow down here and know that my heart is fine, because my heart isn't really my heart. It is not my heart. It is a vehicle that is run by the Holy Spirit, and that's who's doing it, if I would get out of the way. And probably in about 3 minutes, I settled down. And, I mean, it was going boom, 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 boom. I mean, it was doing all kinds of crazy beats. And it's fine now.
Beautiful.
This is a practical course.
Chill.
That is so chill. Perfect.
Yeah, it is. When he says there is no hierarchy, it's and it's amazing. In one of my my dialogues that I wrote with him, I wrote down about Jesus and all this stress on my body. I'm so worried about the effects of all the stress that I've been having on my body, blah, 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 blah. And the answer I got back was emotions and so forth have no effect on the body unless they are given meaning
yep.
by the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, at one point he says, I am maintaining your health because you have joined with me in this worthy purpose of the atonement. So you can just forget about your body and just give it to me. And I said, are you really serious about that, or were you just kidding me? And he said, no. He says, I am serious. He says, that does not mean that you won't face illusions.
Yeah.
But you have the tools now to handle them. So, and was an example.
That's a beautiful example too. And what you just shared, it so resonates with this, the beginning of the last paragraph we read, where it says you are so firmly joined in truth that only God is there, and he would never accept something else instead of you.
Yeah, and I kept thinking, this is not what you put me here for.
Yeah.
This is not why I am here. This is not why. This is, I won't accept this. I just won't. So, anyway, and I'm not there to do it by myself. I mean, I'm writing to Jesus every day and getting some incredible insights. And if anybody has a relationship with him, I encourage you to do it.
Oh, yeah.
It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit more about that? Like, how do you develop this personal relationship with him? This is Homera, by the way. How did you know that it was the voice of the Holy Spirit or voice of Jesus that was speaking to you as you were asking these questions? And
well,
yeah.
How did
Can you
feel?
Can you stand on that?
I got the idea from a girl that I know that says she started writing to God every day. And I thought, well, I'm going to be real honest here. I had some psychosis a few years, and I was listening for voices. And Jesus, and the reason was Jesus told me that I had developed a way of his listening to his voice. And that's why I was trying to hear the voice when I was in darkness. But anyway, anybody can do it. What I do is I write a question, and I get totally quiet. Totally quiet. And then I'll hear a word, or I'll get an idea, or I'll get a thought, or I'll get a concept, or some kind of a something comes to me, and I don't know where it's going, and I just start writing. And I don't know where it's going. And sometimes I think this is going to be nonsense, but it's not, and you just start writing. And then pretty soon you can start telling, I'll say, no, that was me. I can start saying, no, and I'll cross it out. I'll say, you can actually feel, no, I did that. I did that. So you just start doing it that way. You just allow what comes in, and it just becomes a practice.
I've been with a Course in Miracles facilitator for, I think, about 35 years now, and she always encourages us to write Dear God letters. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And it really is quite remarkable when you allow, you know, and just like you said, got to be really quiet, start out really quiet.
Right, and you'll realize that you have your own idea.
Yeah.
What you think you want to hear. And you've got to get that out of your mind and say, okay. I mean, I've even had jokes. He's even told me jokes.
He's got a great sense of humor. Are you kidding?
Yeah, sure, that's hilarious.
One was really crazy, and I said, okay, we were getting really heavy in this conversation. I said, okay, can we lighten this up a little bit? And he said, all right, what did the duck say to the farmer's wife? And I'm writing this down. I'm thinking, oh, I'm losing my mind here. And said, bend down and see what you can see. And I said, I don't get it. I don't get it. And he said, that's what the farmer's wife said. And the duck said, well, that's because you didn't bend down. I don't think that's very funny. I expect more from you. And he said, well, you caught me off guard. I mean, you get stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
There's a really good if anyone's looking to develop it, there's a book called The Illumination Journal for the Course in Miracles, and it's based on the workbook, and I got it a long time ago, and it's actually really helpful. It has like these different questions, and you kind of begin to create that dialogue or get familiar with it. It's helpful.
Thank you, Paul, for sharing that. I also wanted to share really quickly, Hamira, that there's also, if you Google auto writing, there's some really good blogs that are out there. I mean, you have to pay attention to how you feel, because there are blogs that aren't so good too. There are people that talk about how they auto write and share their different experience of how it feels to know the difference between writing, how you know spirit you're channeling. And it's all about opening yourself up to your own intuitive voice, your inner teacher. But there's some great stuff out there. It's called auto writing. Another word for it, auto writing.
Auto writing. And the other was the Illumination Bible.
The Illumination Journal, I think.
Journal.
What did he say?
The Illumination Journal.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, DJ.
I would like to say that it's Igor. Yeah, I would like to say that in chapter 26, section 3, Jesus says that this communication with the Holy Spirit is the goal this course has set. So to realize that we have recognized that we have two voices, we can listen to two voices, the voice of the ego and the voice of the Holy Spirit, and to be able to clearly differentiate one from another and to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance is the learning goal this course has set. Because we don't need anything. We don't need any books. We don't need anything except this, right? That's it. The Holy Spirit will guide us, you know, where we need to, yeah? How we need to. And I started having this guidance too, not in a clear voice, but just from the emotions, how I feel, you know.
Yeah.
So when I have kind of a question, I think about one outcome, another outcome, maybe third, fourth, and I just listen to my chest. How do I feel? My emotions, and the one that gives me big upside, you know, kind of excitement, happiness, joy. This one is to go, and it is very practical. Very recently, about a week ago, maybe even less, I had to buy a microphone. You know, this mic is quite, you know, I need more, better mic, and so I felt, I was watching a lot of videos, which one to buy, and I found two very good options, and I was thinking, which one to buy. And so I was like asking the Holy Spirit, please tell me which one to buy. And I feel like no, they are not the ones. I'm asking, okay, maybe some other mic? Again, no. I'm asking, well, should I have a bike at all? Should I buy a microphone at all? And yes, like, wow, definitely yes. But and I was like, I was confused, but then I come to my girlfriend and say, I'm having this thing, you know, I'm confused. And she says, maybe you should wait a bit. And I'm asking this, like, yes, you should wait a bit, you know, you should wait some time. And like 2 days later, on this microphone that is better, but it was quite more expensive, you know, this microphone is on sale, gets on sale. For like, I was buying on Britain Amazon, and so it gets £20 sale, and the Russian ruble, you know, it's quite shifting and drifting, and it gets better, you know. So 1 euro costs less rubles, you know. So I saved quite a lot of money from this, you know, just 2 days later after that. It is very practical, this guidance, and it can start for you just as simple as this, just listen to your emotions. I think hearing the voice is very advanced state, much more advanced state, but you can start right from there, from listening to your emotions. Okay, thank you.
Well, Igor, I would agree with you, but I don't think one is more advanced than the other. My emotions are not a good guidepost for me, because I've had issues with my emotions. So my emotions take me all over the place. So
what about your feelings?
My feelings?
Because there's a difference between emotions and feelings.
Well, yeah, emotion. Most of what I say.
You know how I look at this? God's will for us is perfect happiness, right? That's a workbook lesson.
Right.
And he repeats it throughout the course. You came here to be happy. So it's so goddamn simple when you think about it. Because if I'm in the middle of something that's really causing me distress, obviously I'm not happy. So obviously I put myself into that situation by listening to that other voice that doesn't care whether I'm happy, that just wants me to be in chaos. So it's always the feelings are the greatest indicator of which voice you're listening to. So it's always, if I just don't come from that impulsive place, which I very often do, if I do what Igor just said and what you said earlier, get quiet. Get quiet and listen to the voice that makes you feel happy.
Right,
and
but
it's always
yes, joy is
thinking here
important.
That I'm not thinking. What would God be thinking that I'm not thinking? And my God, when that voice comes in, it always makes me feel uplifted and happy.
Right.
That's His will for us.
It's our conditioned mind that we're trying to get rid of. And my mind from tiny was conditioned for fear.
Every one of us.
I mean, really trauma fear. I had nothing but basically fear in my life.
Oh.
So that's what I'm letting go of.
Yep.
And it's big time. And I told you about the experience of Jesus in my bedroom one night. I mean, that was my experience of life, was just constant fear. So that's what I'm letting go of, big time fear. And he's helping.
I think that's what we're all on learning in this course.
Yes.
We learned a lot of lies and continue to if we keep a focus on what that other voice is saying. It's really when we allow ourselves to listen to the voice for God that the undoing takes place. And it's so marvelous because there isn't a time. It's just, I mean, we can't get it wrong. We just can't get it wrong. And no matter how many times we fall on our face and do it the other way, it doesn't even matter because the Holy Spirit, God, is always there. We can always turn to Him. And we're brand new every time we do it.
I think, Paula, what you shared about stillness is really, really, really key, because stillness is the place where the Spirit is, and Spirit doesn't doubt or question or think, oh, maybe, maybe not. It's just like yes or no. When you're trying to make a decision about something or you're not sure which direction to go in, it doesn't hum and haw. It's like exactly what Igor shared earlier. Got a really strong yes for the microphone. There wasn't any, you know, you know, and that to me is always so key. It's the first, the willingness for the part of the mind that's bought into the identity of Deidre to get out of the way and be still enough to listen without constantly questioning or whatever else that's going on in the background.
You know,
Deidre, I want to say really quickly. The only thing about the silence and the stillness, I think what cannot be overlooked is that in that place, you go with the question there and you sit in the silence and the stillness, what is there is peace.
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said? I didn't hear that.
What is there, what you find there, for no matter what questions you come, because really the questions are insignificant in a way. What you find there is peace.
Peace, yes, and a knowingness. It's like trust would settle all things now, you know, because trust knows it doesn't have to question. So when you find that peace that you're talking about, that's how you know. And we all experience peace differently, but we all know what it is when it comes.
Yes.
You know what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm feeling moved that we should read a little bit more. Is that okay with everyone?
Good.
Sure.
Heaven is restored to all the sonship through your relationship, for in it lies the sonship, whole and beautiful, safe in your love. Heaven has entered quietly, for all illusions have been gently brought upon the truth in you, and love has shined upon you, blessing your relationship with truth. God and his whole creation have entered it together. How lovely and how holy is your relationship with the truth shining upon it. Heaven beholds it and rejoices that you have let it come to you. The universe within you stands with you together, and heaven looks with love on it, joined in it along with its creator. And I know that I read that already, but I felt like I wanted to read it again because it's so perfect for what we've been discussing tonight. So the universe within you stands with you together, and heaven looks with love on what is joined in it along with its creator. When God has called, should hear no substitute. Their call is but an echo of the original error which shattered heaven, and what became of peace in those who heard. Return with me to heaven, walking together out of this world and through another to the loveliness and joy the other holds within it. Would you still further weaken and break apart what is already broken and hopeless? It is here that you would look for happiness, or would you not prefer to heal what has been broken and join in making whole what has been ravaged by separation and disease? You have been called together to the most holy function that this world contains. It is the only one which has no limits and reaches out to every broken fragment of the sonship with healing and uniting comfort. This is offered you in your holy relationship. Accept it here, and you will give as you have accepted. The peace of God is given you with the glowing purpose in which you join. The holy light that brought you together must extend as you accept it. I'm feeling called to read one more paragraph, so I think I'm going to do that. So the basis of the dream. Does not a world that seems quite real arise in dreams? Yet think that this world, what this world is, it is clearly not the world you saw before you slept. Rather, it is the distortion of the world planned solely around what you have preferred. Here you are, free to make over whatever seemed to attack you and change it into a tribute to your ego, which was overwrought by the attack. This would not be your wish unless you saw yourself as one with the ego, which always looks upon itself and therefore on you as under attack and highly vulnerable to it. I'll pause there.
Thank you, Jitri, for reading this paragraph, because the very first sentence, does not a world that seems quite real arise in dreams, yeah? Dreams,
mm-hmm.
we don't question it. So really, what is the reason for thinking thoughts that makes you feel bad, make you feel, you know, depressed and upset and all kinds of thoughts like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not only for guidance, yeah? When I have a question, I ask some question and listen to my emotions, which which answer gets me excited. Yeah, it's for any thought, like any thought I think. And if it gets me down, if it gets me upset, it means it is the ego's thought, right? Because again, like Paula said, workbook lesson 101 says, God's will for me is perfect happiness.
Yeah.
So whatever makes you unhappy is not coming from the Holy Spirit.
That's right. It's
from
God's
God.
Will.
Yeah. So why would you ever think a thought that gets you upset? I asked my girlfriend. She is upset again, and I think, what do you think about? I think about this, and I ask her, how do you feel about this thought? She said, feel bad about it. So I ask her again, so is this thought from the ego or from the Holy Spirit? But she says, but this is actually happened. This has actually happened. How can I not think about it, and how can I not get upset from about it? Yeah, by it. If it actually happened, and this sentence explains it all. Does not a world that seems quite real arise in dreams? We have to keep in mind that this is not real. This is not really happening. This is not true. This is the trick. This is the trick. Don't think these thoughts and don't get upset because it wasn't real. Just forgive it. Just apply genuine forgiveness to it.
You know, sometimes you just have to have a fit, you know, to get to that point where you're ready to just let it go. When you to really see, this is ridiculous. What am I doing to myself? But that whole would you rather be right or happy steps in there. And, you know, it can be a little temperamental. And if you're not, does your girlfriend work with this material, Igor?
Yeah, sure. We're studying together.
Oh, you're studying together. Oh, thank God.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank God.
I would dump her if she wouldn't for a long time ago.
You also.
I'm not interested in her body, as you can hear. So it's the only thing we have, you know.
You also have to be careful, or you have to discern happy also, because the ego, that's happiness, is also part of the ego's arsenal. Happiness and sadness. So you have to be very discerning according to that, because a lot of times we think only the very negative things come from the ego, but also ego has a lure, and the lure is the things that it gives you that quote-unquote makes you happy. So you have to be very discerning about that.
Part of it is going to the happy dream, though, too. If you've been in the yuck, you know, part of it is the Holy Spirit taking you to the happy dream. So I think, you know, if you haven't been happy, as long as you know that it's part of the illusion, you can enjoy it. Don't you think?
I like that, because that substantiates the fact that the happiness can also be a part of the illusion. It's a deeper level that we have to get to.
Right.
Because the illusion is very cunning.
It is very cunning.
It's very, very cunning. Because if it was only negative, you would really be cautionary about it, and it would be easily recognizable. But because it isn't only just misery, it's the positive side, too, is in the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing to really understand is when you look at it, like the Course says in the beginning, what I see isn't true. It's all the illusion, which is very eye-opening to think of it as all of the illusion.
Right, and it's it's our identification. Like the other night I was watching a movie, was very much of a tearjerker, and there was a son, and kind of I related to some of the drama and so forth, and I was crying and started to write, and I got this to talk to me when you are calm and focused. So today I said, okay, what did you want to say about the movie? And it was about watch how you observe yourself, how you identify with the movie.
Excellent.
As being you.
Mm-hmm.
How much of you do you see yourself in the movie?
Excellent.
And that shows you where you are identifying in real life. And he's, and of course, brought up that that movie that you're seeing on that screen is no more
real
than the movie that you are in your life.
Very excellent. Very excellent. And such great clarity. You express that with such great clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what comes up for me to see as you're talking is the whole idea of the lesson in the course that says, I give everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. And that one is so key because if we didn't have a meaning attached to something, we would just see everything as spirit sees it. But it's the meaning that gets attached through these stories and things.
Right, it's all about me. This means me. This means me. And once that me part of it is gone, it just is gone. It's gone. It's gone from your consciousness. That's it. And then you just see, you know, the background. You just see it without the story.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Easier said than done.
What did she say?
She said easier said than done, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's an ongoing challenge. A lot of times I like to just drop back and say, just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Just shut it up, you know. Be quiet, that part of the mind that's hammering or whatever. You know, just interrupt it. No, we're not going there.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's almost like disciplining a little child inside, you know?
Absolutely. I think let's read a bit more.
Yeah.
Dreams are chaotic because they are governed by your conflicting wishes, and therefore they have no concern with what is true. They are the best example you could have of perception, can be utilized to substitute illusion for truth. You do not take them seriously on awaking because the fact that reality is so outrageously violated in them becomes apparent. Yet they are a way of looking at the world and changing it to suit the ego better. They provide striking examples both of the ego's inability to tolerate reality and your willingness to change reality on its behalf. I'm just going to pause for a minute while I turn the page here. You do not find the differences between what you see in sleep and on waking disturbing. You recognize that what you see on waking is blotted out in dreams. Yet on awakening, you do not expect it to be gone. In dreams, you arrange everything. People become what you have them be, and what they do, you order. No limits on substitution is laid upon you. For a time, it seems as if the world were given you to make it what you will. You do not realize that you are attacking it, trying to triumph over it and make it serve you. Dreams are perceptual temper tantrums in which you literally scream, "I want this!" And thus it seems to be. And yet the dream cannot escape its origin. Anger and fear pervade it. And in an instant, the illusion of satisfaction is evaded by the illusion of terror. For the dream of your ability to control reality by substituting a world which you prefer is terrifying. Your attempts to blot out reality are very fearful, but this you are not willing to accept. And so you substitute this fantasy that reality is fearful, not what you would do to it. And thus is guilt made real. And I'm going to pause there. Wow.
Big. That's a lot. Big.
That is huge, like mind-blowingly huge. So dreams are chaotic because they are governed by your conflicting wishes. They have no concern with what is true. And the best example of how to substitute illusions for truth. Wow, there's just so much in these paragraphs.
Yeah, and this section is the basis of the dream, is entitled The Basis of the Dream, and Jesus will be talking more and more on this topic in chapter 27, especially the passing of the dream, the healing of the dream. So, and that's the nature, really, how real we think the dreams are, and how outrageously, you know, insane they are, right? Because in the dream, we can have some buildings that build just wrong, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I very often I have cars that drive without the drivers in my dreams. You know, so some totally absurd things happen in dreams, right? Chaos. Dreams are chaotic. The second paragraph in this section. Dreams are chaotic because they are governed by your conflicting wishes, and therefore they have no concern with what is true. Yeah? So that's why all of the madness is happening. You know, like 9/11, like those terrorists, like those governments. Yeah? And because they just reflect our conflicting, chaotic wishes about separation, about attack. And they have nothing to do with reality, with heaven. Yeah, in heaven is nothing. Heaven is nothing like this. So,
absolutely. I
want to say that in chapter 19 there is this section called Laws of Chaos. And some people, they think that this world is chaotic, like something random happens to us, yeah? While it is not random, because if it would be true that something random can happen to us, then workbook lesson number 31 would be untrue, that says, I am never the victim of the world I see, yeah? And workbook lesson 32 says, I'm never the victim of the world I see because I have invented it. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So there is nothing random happens to me. I am not a victim of some random chaotic laws. It is just the thought that I have been thinking that now project, that now materialize to me, have been chaotic. And they were contradicting to God's laws, yeah, heaven's laws, and that's why something unpleasant now is happening to me. So that's why this world is governed by the laws of chaos, not because something random happens to me, but because we're thinking bad thoughts, basically. So, yeah, thank you.
But that's,
thank you.
You know, that's liberating when you really get that. Because in any moment, you know, once if you have that realization, that's you. You can now allow the miracle, the shift to take place. And I've had this happen where circumstances that just seemed horrendous to me changed right before my eyes because I had the realization that I'm making this up. I'm the creator of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to do this. I work especially. And I've become really conditioned to take the Holy Spirit with me wherever I go in that crazy place.
Mm-hmm.
Paula, I was just, is that Paula?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that, the line about people become what you would have them be and what they do you order. That's what I was just thinking about that when you said that and how that's what's been coming up for me a lot is realizing my projections. Many of times my fears and just seeing them reflected. And I just see it now more and more and more. And I'm like, what? I'm almost like, am I losing my mind? Because when I take it to the Holy Spirit, I see the illusion. But, of course, when I'm in that egocentric, no, this illusion is real, it's kind of like I have these dual voices.
All of us.
So it was just interesting you brought that up. I can relate.
But I think the more we work with this material, the more apparent it becomes, you know, that this is all nonsense. You know, there's really nothing wrong at all.
No, there's nothing wrong.
Go ahead.
And here's the thing, what the ego is actually doing is it's judging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're in the soup that we're in, because of judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you were talking, Paul, I was just thinking about, something shifted for me recently. And I started to see the lesson, I'm never upset for the reason I think a little bit differently. So, if I am upset for any reason, if I feel even the slightest bit uncomfortable, it means somewhere in my mind, I don't even have to know where, there's an investment in something that isn't real. And if I asked for spirit to look at it, show me, another way of looking at it, however you do that in the moment, as it arises. But the moment any upset occurs, I'm like, okay, I'm not seeing this. I love would see it right now. And you're right, sometimes you do need to be wherever you're at and you do need to process however you need to process.
Yeah.
So it's not about stuffing that down or anything, but it's more and more as you do this work, I find, and anybody else can chime in too, is that I'm less tolerant of the upset because I want the peace of God. I want peace all the time.
You want to do His will for you.
Yes, I want to be perfectly happy, damn it.
His will for us.
And I'm not going to settle for the other stuff because the other stuff is just...
Other stuff.
And so that's why I was really laughing as we got to the end of the paragraph here, those dreams are perpetual temper tantrums in which you are literally scream, I want it thus. And, I've been in those situations where the you're in the ego thought system and you're just going around in circles and you're just saying, I'm right, damn it, you know.
Yep.
I'm right, and I want it this way. And then, you know, spirit somehow comes in there when you've got still enough to be willing to look at the craziness, and you can just laugh at how silly it is and how worked up you get by the drama of, you know, I want it.
It's, you know, we're sitting on the beach today, and there's a little adorable little girl right kind of up from us. And she was having a fit. Talk about a temper tantrum. And that's basically what we do. But, you know, in subtle ways, in ways that really hurt us.
Yeah.
You know, children are so honest and so present. But we, you know, we do this stuff. And but once again, you know, you never get it done and you can't get it wrong. And just calling upon the Holy Spirit in all of that will always be the answer.
And as soon as you say the I, that's immediately separation.
Yep.
When it's the I want and I need and I, that is immediately separation. That's immediately the ego and the dream. Because ultimately what we are is oneness. We're not I separated from any object or separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great reminder.
That's a great reminder. And we are at the top of the hour, so thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Beautiful share. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless you. Bye-bye. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.